Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Football Daft with Stephen Purdon.
Midfield dynamo and average actor.
Chris Toll.
Target man. Suspicious character.
And...
Welcome to Football Daft. It is the daftest Scottish football podcast around. I am producer John, and let us welcome the team. First, a man who had some great suggestions for NFL teams if NFL was in Scotland. They encoded the Coatbridge Green Bottles and the Wishaw Midwives. It's Chris Toll.
Hello there.
Hello there. Grado, you had a few suggestions as well, didn't you?
Mine's always good. Mine's with the Ayrshire Tatties.
Is good. That man is celebrated Valentine's by getting a house to himself and eating chicken wings. It's Grado.
Thank you. I just wait there 2 seconds to get out the room. Right. Nae bother. Did you hear the door closing?
Yeah.
Aye. So that was ideal. Monday. Well, Sunday night, Valentine's Day. The night before, she told me, I'm going out to Brayhead with the Waynes, or at least Perry's getting a babysitter. You'll not see us a full day. That's your Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Do you know what? It was tremendous.
Tell me this one. Did you know for 1 second think she's away to meet another guy?
Well, you would think with my history, aye, but no.
Grado was like too happy. He got chicken wings that he had, the TV to himself. Talk us through your day.
Well, I got home for the radio about 12 o'clock. I nipped into Iceland in the way home. I bought about 25 chicken wings, but they came conjoined, so I had to choke them up.
Conjoined?
Do you know what I mean? See how when you get chicken wings, I hate when it comes and you get...
A plastic wrap thing.
The horn's still on it, not that. The horn, the paw, and all that pish. So I like getting it separate, but they don't do that in Iceland. But you try and find a muscle in the middle, and you try and rip the knuckle, but I always make a cunt it, and then I end up chopping, there's blood everywhere and it's bogging anyway. But I was a bit embarrassed because those guys working in my back going, man, I had to chip pan out at 12:30 in the day. Guys like, oh, what is he fucking doing in there?
I hope you offered him a chicken wing.
I didn't.
Oh, really?
Because I thought if I don't want to start that. You know what I mean? I was here for a couple of days. And then, do you know what I mean? So they got a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and a couple of penguins, the Snidey one. So I sat there and I watched the Louis Farrow documentary, which was tremendous. I watched a Boeing documentary, and what else was it I watched?
Tinder Swindler?
No, I've not watched that yet. No, I've heard that.
I've not watched that yet, but you put me onto one, Grado.
The Puppet Master?
Oh, what?
You're done it, man.
What?
Did I have air after you?
Where can we see the Puppet Master?
It's Netflix. On Netflix,
mate. It's unbelievable. It's very, very hard.
It's one of the ones. See if you did me know for a fact it was true, you'd be like, this is a lot of pish. But see, because it's true, every sentence that comes after the next, you're like, fucking hell.
Right,
okay. I cannot believe that there are people as gullible in this world, though.
You see, that I know when I felt, I'm going to myself, should I be feeling bad for these people? Like, I struggle to have sympathy, especially for the woman. And I know that's terrible, but you'd think she got told in 1994 that the IRA were after her. You'd think by maybe, like, 1997, you'd step by going, right, are you sure they're still after me?
Do you know what? It's even they called the ceasefire.
Aye!
You'd have been right off the road, wouldn't you?
That's a kid! Oh, that's it, bye. I'm safe now then, innit? No.
Oh, no, stay no. They said... There'll be a ceasefire, except for that lassie.
Well, there you go. That is Football Daft recommended TV choice of the week in TV Corner. It is The Puppet Master, as recommended by Chris Toll and Grado. So get watching that and let us report back next week. Let us know what you think of that. Getting to the football, boys. We're recording here Thursday afternoon ahead of the big European games. Rangers away to Dortmund in the Europa League, while Celtic face Bodo Glimt at home in the Europa Conference.
By the way, that kicks off in an hour and a half or something. We better get a fucking arse in here.
I know.
Aye. I don't want to actually. I don't want to be making too much of a preview of this because whatever you say could. I mean.
Well, exactly. But is it a free hit? Just.
It's a free hit, John. That's
free,
it.
Chris, have you seen it as a free hit as well? Aye.
Well, I've already spoke about it. My main focus is the league.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to see Celtic win in every game that they play, but I wouldn't lose a lot of sleep if Europe wasn't a distraction.
What I mean, the big thing is, what if one team? Do you think the advantage for the title goes to the team? Say Rangers get knocked out. Does any advantage go to Rangers if Celtic?
I would say so.
Aye, well, you could be right. History has shown.
And also, it's not just what you're saying there, Grado, sorry. What you need to then take into account is the mind games, because see if Rangers go out or if Celtic go out, right, and the other team's playing on the Sunday and the other team's playing on the Saturday, then if they go 3 points, they get 3 points on the Saturday, then see the pressure on the team that's playing on the Thursday that have been in Europe. It's just insurmountable for the rest of the season. Until
That is pressure. That is pressured. The having to play the game 24 hours later. So as John and I totally agree with Tull. The night is just, I'm going to enjoy the occasion. Don't want to go on about it too much. But in terms of, like, it's our biggest European opponents that we've had in over a decade, I would say. So it's just try to enjoy the occasion. Make sure Rangers get out of it injury free, and we've got nae thingies for Sunday.
The injuries for Sunday.
Aye, well, I guess that's what it's all about. So, free hit tonight. Hopefully, you both get a result in Europe. That'd be great for Scottish football. The manager merry-go-round has started in the Premiership this week. Stephen Glass left his position as Aberdeen manager there the weekend. Barry Robson stepped in to kind of look after the team, with Captain Scott Brown kind of stepping up more into a coaching role as well there. Dave Cormack was at Thurfer Park for the cup game there at the weekend. Obviously seen enough and basically let Stephen Glass go. So who do you think's getting the job, boys?
The Aberdeen job.
Got the odds.
Is it coincidence that Barry Ferguson resigned on Monday?
I would be very surprised if Barry
Ferguson... I don't think Barry Ferguson's getting an Aberdeen job.
Right. Now, hear me out.
Here we go.
Right, okay.
I think the perfect appointment for Aberdeen right now would be Gordon Strachan.
Well...
Now, there's a history there. He's not in a managerial job now. Dundee have just changed their managerial setup. I understand, obviously, that he's been the one that's brought in Mark McGee. But would they want another bite at it and at his team that he's such a legend?
Stranger things have happened. But like you say, I mean, this is the manager, James McPake. Chris, you know James McPake. He's a Coatbridge boy, isn't he?
I know James.
I mean, he's won two games on the spin there for Dundee. He was let go of there just yesterday. Today, we find out they've appointed Mark McGee, whose last spell was as manager with Eastbourne Borough, who was a caretaker back there in February 2019.
Eastbourne Borough
in the National League South, Grado.
He's a caretaker. I wouldn't trust him to mop the fucking floors.
And then he went to Barnet as a head of technical and was pumped out of there by Graham Westley, who took over as head coach. Plus, he's got an outstanding six-game touchline ban, and he's coming into the Dundee job. That's a crazy appointment.
Doesn't like camera phones either, doesn't he? Remember that
he
one?
He doesn't like camera phones.
Is that allowed? Is that allowed? To the police? Are they allowed to film me? Get it off.
Do you know, Ryan made a good point in the group chat. Producer Ryan said, Scottish football seems to be a merry-go-round, just the same haddies going from club to club.
But it's true, but because...
I know.
But then, look, what we were talking a couple of weeks ago about how refreshing it was to see somebody like Sean Maloney get the job, and then it's back to McGee's.
But you're looking at that, Grado. You need to look, Dundee's board are going to be looking at that and looking at Sean Maloney, looking at Stephen Glass. Wait a minute, we need to get somebody in that knows the game. And I can understand it to a point, but why no promote from within? Is there no player that could take over the team until the end of the season? Somebody that knows the squad, knows it in and out. You know what I mean? It's just it's
Tommy Wright and fucking
exactly. Remember, it used to be like Bobby Williamson would be at every fucking club. It's just it's been Dick Campbell's been at a ton of teams as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the odds currently sit, Jim Goodwin's the hot favourite at 4-6, Jack Ross 11-2, Paul Hartley 6-1, Derek Adams, who just got let go of there at Bradford, who did a decent job down there for a while, 7-1, Alex McLeish, there's one for you, 10-1, Barry Robson 12-1, Neil Lennon 16-1, David Martindale out there at 20-1.
Do you know what, I could see Barry Ferguson at Dundee. Right, I see what you're saying there, Grado, about him going to Aberdeen. I think that would maybe be a wee bit.
But,
a wee bit.
No, that was me just trying to be stupid.
He's a big name.
But it's Joris Bloyd, Chris. That's the thing. He did a decent job at Kelty, but Aloha haven't been brilliant this season.
Is his Jotter blotted any more than Mark McGee?
Well, blinking Mark McGee's covered in ink.
But it's just as you say, Bato, it's tracking. It's got a job for his pal, isn't it?
You're right. Well, fuck's sake, he could end up at Parkhead. Stratton's in there and all, know what I mean?
Aye. He's all over the place, Stratton. Jesus. I don't know if you read this week, boys, the horror scenario that could fall upon Celtic and Rangers, which could see the both of you miss out on the Champions League spot. This is such a Scottish thing, this, right? So the current coefficient standing is that Scotland's sitting 11th in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. So the top 10 leagues are entitled to a place in Europe's elite competition without battling through the qualifiers, right? However, the 11th place league does get a slot if the winner of the trophy also qualifies through their league. Are you with me?
No, it doesn't qualify through
the league. So... basically, that means, right, at the moment, Man United, Juve and Atletico, who are all still in the Champions League, are currently out with the Champions League spots in their own country.
None of the three are going to win the Champions
League. So if any of those three teams win the Champions League, it could mean that Rangers and Celtic miss out.
No, it's not going to happen.
I mean, it's not going to happen, but it's such a Scottish thing to happen, isn't it?
Aye, it would be, but you need to look at the things that have fell in our favour recently. You know what I mean? There's been a few things that have fell in our favour, like getting to the Euros through the back door and all of that and stuff. So like I say that at the time, I think our luck start making a change a wee bit.
Chris,
so,
if there's a war in Ukraine, we might get a bye in the World Cup and all.
By the way.
By the way,
come on, Vlad! For anybody listening, that was tongue in cheek. Absolutely, do not condone war at all.
Let me ask you this, right? So, could it be that whoever wins a league, right, automatically qualifies, right?
Yep.
However, this thing that you've just explained to me happens, mm-hmm. and then it gets 10 away, and then it gets Champions League. So what you're saying is
you have to go through the qualifying, mate.
Right?
No, you just go into the playoff round.
Aye.
Last year?
Aye, but you would be in the Champions playoff round, so it would be the easier route.
Yeah.
So it would definitely soften the blow a wee bit for the... depends whoever wins.
What I would be thinking about, if I'm saying like a Rangers, is you get an extra round.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean? And that's an extra big load of income, because a match night for a Champions League qualifier for Celtic and Rangers generates a huge amount of money.
But you're not going to be guaranteed to get into the Champions.
Aye, but we will, because we're fucking magic, man.
Is that right? Before we move on, I've got to talk about this story. Chris, you'll have seen this, Grado, maybe not. The Sporting Lisbon fight the other night there, the 40-man brawl, and Pepe. Did you hear about Pepe?
Oh, I did see this, aye.
So, Grado, I'll fill you in on this, right? You know Pepe, who fucking everyone hates Pepe. Standles. Pepe EastEnders.
That was Pepe, wasn't it?
That was Pepe.
Pepe, that's right.
There's probably never been a more hated player in world football. I know he does loads for charity, but on the field, everyone fucking hates Pepe, don't they?
I know, man.
He's a proper heel.
But he could be facing, this could be at the end of his career, he could be facing a 2-year ban from football amid accusations he hid a bullet during Friday night's game against Sporting Lisbon. The Tetchy match ended in a remarkable 40-man brawl as players, staff, stewards and even ball boys got involved in this massive big fight. He was shown as the 13th red card of his career. Now he's facing accusations that he kicked one of the directors, which mean it could lead to a 2-year ban. Plus, apparently, someone from the crowd threw a bullet onto the pitch and he hid it. I don't know why he was hiding it, but he hid this bullet. So,
see if anybody's career deserved to end in a 2-year ban
for hiding a bullet.
It's Pepe, innit?
It's fucking mental.
That's bonkers, man. I seen the fight, by the way. The game was 2-each. It was like, surprisingly, because Sporting Lisbon have been outstanding all season.
Yeah.
And it was the game, I think the game finished 2-each. And it reminded you of something out of like Brazilian football. Remember back in the day, it used to happen regularly in Brazilian football where they would just have a Royal Rumble in the middle of the pitch. And that's what it's missing for football, Grado.
Exactly, man. That's what it's all about. That's
what entertainment in the football. That's what you want. People running off, run-ins from other players. Imagine if they put a bit more wrestling into football. You know what I mean?
4 red cards.
I'll tell you, I've came up with an idea.
Who's that? That's Kenny Miller coming in on for Rangers.
But listen, right. Imagine, right, it was Celtic Parker, right, let's say Scotland, Hampden, right? It's Hampden, and somebody's been out injured for ages, right?
I love that.
Right, somebody's been out injured for ages, and you don't need to declare your squad before the game, right?
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
No, but every player's got their own entrance music, right? And then, like, imagine and the players all come out one at a time to their own entrance music, right?
Right. And then,
a big surprise, scoreboards and all of that. Oh my God, it's Shay Adams. He's back. Fucking, and his music, he's Enter Sandman.
No,
and all the fucking lights and all that going, man.
You're right, you could date like goal songs, say I love this. So say 90 in the 90th minute. Rangers get a penalty and Sakala's been out for weeks, right? And all the penalty takers, all the strikers are off. And then it's like the lights go off, as you're saying. It's like, it can't be. Surely. It's Fashion Sakala. Fashion Sakala is back. Fashion Sakala is going to come on and take a penalty.
But imagine like they didn't announce signings or anything like that either. And you're standing in the stadium and please welcome our new number 10, Lionel Messi. Do you imagine the fucking eruption?
Holy shit!
This is awesome.
So much better. This is awesome.
as well seen that Stephen's off this week. We're sitting talking wrestling and football.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Absolutely love it.
Imagine but wrestling chance, me wrestling chance in football at missing penalties. You fucked up.
Let's get it happening. And before getting into daft stories from this week, remember we were talking about disgusting stories last week. And we sort of said, you made everyone sick, Grado. Everyone's been getting
mate, see, oh, I see the amount of texts I got about that.
I know.
I don't think it was that bad, man. It was just.
I know. Well, it wasn't that bad because the listeners have done a hell of a lot worse. I'm going to basically. Because we threw it out just in the off chance, said, let's start a new feature, Make the Boys Boke, right? It's a kind of fucked up version of Graham Norton's Big Red Chair, right? We've had a few in, boys, right? So I'm going to read these out and see if we can make you boke with these stories, right? Okay, first one off. Ricky says, I've got a nasty shite story for you. Oh, my God.
Oh, here we go.
A boy I was at uni with pulled a bird and went back to hers. She lived at the halls, so they had a communal toilet. He woke up during the night, bursting for a shite, done his business, which was a nasty explosion, goes to wipe his arse, and can't find any shit roll. But all he can see is the fanny pad bin. The daft arsehole has to sift through it to find the cleanest pads to wipe his arse with and hide them back in the bin. He never said if there was any complaints about the smell the next day, but he never saw her again after that.
By the way, that's just brought another story to my mind. Listen to this, right? So I was at a house party once, and it was at a friend of work's, right? And I got talking to this guy right now. His name is Rick, right? So Rick's telling me a story about a guy that he went to college with. Right?
All right, okay.
Right, so it's just because you mentioned there it was college. So this guy went back to this bird's dorm, right? And she got up in the morning and she went to class and she locked him in, right? And he couldn't get out and he was busting for a shite. Right, and the dorms didn't have toilets in them. All there was a sink to wash your face and brush your teeth and that in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so he's done a shite in the sink, right? Now then he's realised again there's no toilet paper, but he's also realised there's no bin and there's no window that opens because it's painted shut. Right, so he's noticed a knife and fork. Now listen, Stephen, when the guy was telling me this story, he says he's noticed a knife and fork, and one of the guys sitting next to me went, "He ate the shite." Right, so what he's done is he's took a knife and fork, he's cut it up and he's mashed it down into the drain of the sink.
God!
See, I thought it was going to be. Remember, Katongo come on and tell us about.
Yeah, I thought it was going to go left in a poly bag. Oh, that's horrendous! Right, I'll give you one more. Right, I'll give you one.
Man,
more.
I was bad.
Okay. Hi lads, this is from Darren. Got a story for you. In 2012, eight of us went to Bulgaria. After a bit of heavy night, my pal went to his bed but got up through the night. He kneeled down to whitey in the toilet but shat on the floor.
Oh no.
He then got up to shite in the toilet but instead he whiteyed on the floor. He ended up briefly rolling around in it, climbing into another pal's bed where he found him the next morning bollock naked.
Oh my God.
That's the worst, man. Everybody's got a mate that's got a story like that for holiday, man.
I done something when I was a wee boy that ended up. Oh no, I shouldn't have.
Oh no, we're going.
Hold it, Grado.
Listen, if you want to make the boys vocal, you've got any more of these stories you'd like to get involved with at Football Daft Pod, please DM us. Don't put this out in the open. We'll tell them on the podcast next week. Let's get on to the daft stories for this week, boys, right? Would you like to hear about a man who became a birthing partner on a date? Would you like to hear about the guy who got an accidental cheque for £2.3 trillion? Or do you want to find out why you shouldn't put a cellular reference when transferring cash to your mate?
Well, I told myself something to do with that.
I'm guilty of it.
I've caused a lot of hassle with that.
Right, okay. A man was told off by a bank for his payment reference names when transferring to friends. When you're transferring money to a friend, there's that temptation. We all have done it, put a lot of creativity, silly reference. Anyway, the man got a message from this bank after he made a few jokes when sending his mate from some cash. The email read, "Hi Joe, you recently marked payments for Taliban training, jihad fee and ISIS training. While we appreciate they're probably having a joke with your friends, we're obliged to investigate such matters, which is time consuming. Be assured your friend's bank will be doing the same. This is a polite request to ask you to cease marking payments in this manner." So, basically, that's it. A couple of years ago, this has happened. So, if you're transferring money, it's like you shouldn't like put captions like Coke Bender or Strip Clubs or anything like that because they might deny your transfer. Chris, you work in a working bank and you must know a wee bit about this.
I can neither confirm or deny any of that, John.
Right, okay.
However, I have done that in the past.
I nearly cost my mate his mortgage because.
Shut up, what did you put down?
Because he was remortgaging his house.
Right.
And he needed a tap for like, I'd say about a month or two, right? He says, "I can get you the money in a month or two. I need to remortgage my house." So it was a no bad amount of money. And I wrote on the transfer for your mortgage. And then the bank went into it and went, "So you're clearly that's not your money, you've not got the funds to apply for this mortgage," and it caused an offer carry on. And he was like, "Man, why did you write that on the fucking on the note?" I'm going, "Well, I don't know."
He'd never tell you not to do it, does he?
I just thought, well, at least, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thinking about it now, But he was like phoning me, fucking sweating gravy, going, I'm not going to get this mortgage now because it looks like it's what the banks obviously are going to kind of go, well, where's he getting the money for? Would that have happened?
Well, I say, you see, when you apply for a mortgage, they ask for like 6 months or 3 months. what do you call it? Bank statements. So they will go through that. I wear a fine tooth comb, can I?
Oh, no. So, well, I hope my mate doesn't
it's
go
funny
for a
because
mortgage.
the boys that came to fix my broadband last week, one was a mega Celtic fan. And they actually done a lot more work than what they should have, to be honest with you. They were like, we can sort it, but we're no. Basically, I had to get the broadband put out in here. He says, I can do it, but it's like, I would need to come back and do it. I says, see if you do it then now, how much would you charge? Like, much would you take? And he told me it was like about £50, right? I thought, right, we'll do it. And then when I put the money in his bank account, I wrote 55. I'm just crazy. I'm just half my nut.
You're crazy.
Well, do you know what? That guy's going to apply for a mortgage and they're going to say, you said that you were getting 55 here, but you actually only get 50.
I'd hope my mate doesn't go for a mortgage. I'm just looking back through my bank statement there. I put dildos are us.
When I went to Amsterdam with my mates, my bank card wouldn't work over there, so my mate had to lift money for me, right? So I was transferring the money and I wrote the transfer thing, hookers and drugs, right? And obviously the next transaction comes out and I at an ATM in Amsterdam. So whenever they've been going through that, they're going to be going, ah, well, at least the guy was fucking honest, you know what I mean?
Right, so don't do it, kids. Do not put silly references on your bank notes because you might get mortgages turned down. You might get your friends in trouble. So don't do it, kids. It's not big and it's not smart, okay?
Gredo, why the fuck did you write that?
I know. I was like, I'm sorry, bud. And I thought to myself, I'm fucking getting the money. But anyway, he managed to get it sorted. He's no staying
in it. I'm glad. So this week on Football Daft, we will bring
By the way, we've not even addressed the elephant in the room here.
What's that?
Stephen's not here.
We haven't actually talked about Stephen. Stephen's having a torrid time of it at the moment. He's having a torrid time of it. So he is absent today. So it's just
he's kidding on. He's not well, but I think he's in Dortmund.
I think he maybe is.
But did you know, see, he was getting a lot of flack on Twitter and stuff like that. I've been getting texts about it because he was holding a Celtic mug on River City this week.
Well, funny you should mention that because in the Football Daft moments, that might be a contender.
Oh, right, is it? I've been getting texts about it.
We'll have your Football Daft moment of the week later on. That might be a contender. On Football Daft Focus this week, we're going to be talking about the Aberdeen situation with a guy I know is my former boss, Richard Wilkinson. He's the owner of internet radio station Beat 106. And
the best radio station ever.
Well, I remember Beat 106.
Are you fucking right?
Well, it's on internet now.
Did it not change to X Radio or something like that after that? And then.
Oh, I can give you the full, because I worked there. So
hey, wait until he comes on, because I want to talk about that.
Have you told Tom about one time I phoned you up for a job?
Yes, I will. We can maybe discuss that.
I didn't know this. It was 80 years later, man.
He's also the admin of an Aberdeen fan page called Aberdeen Football Club, The Adventures of the Other Stevie G. He's going to have to change that name, I think. He's going to be on talking about the Aberdeen managerial situation. On the big questions, after we had a chat about it last week, we're looking for those players that have come back to haunt you. Gredo, do you have three riddles?
I bet they're shite this week.
All right, okay. Well,
last week they were tremendous. Remember Colin Nash and all that?
That's your Mona Lisa, mate.
I think so.
Class, absolutely class. So we'll have three riddles from Gredo, and on teammates, it's managerial royalty. It's Jim Jeffries.
Well, today's sponsors are none other than Manscaped. They're good friends, and we've had some good news coming from our friends at Manscaped because they've just launched the fourth generation performance package. Now, this is an ultimate package, and you're going to get a Lawnmower 4.0. We've all got the Lawnmower 4.0, haven't we, boys?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to male grooming, they've been doing it for years. I went back to look at old Howard Stern clips, right? That's what I'm into now, 2006, 2007. And even back then, the folk on the Howard Stern show were putting over how good Manscaped was and how much it helped them deal with embarrassing situations and getting rid of that extra fluff that they suffer down in the nether regions. 4 million men 4 million men, it can't be argued with. They trust Manscaped, and this new performance package, the 4.0, is easy to get. All you need to do is go to manscaped.com and you get 20% off and free shipping with our code today, which is going to be daft. Now, let me tell you, there's been situations in my life, there's been situations in John and Chrissy's life where we've went to go below the waist with a trimmer to try and sort out those hairy molecules that are down there, and it's ended in tears. It's ended in tears, hasn't it, Chris?
Before Manscaped, it was...
Before Manscaped, you would have thought Freddy Krueger had had a go at my boss.
Correct.
I was always scared to do my boss before Manscaped because you think just one wee slip and you've got a gusher.
We got a bleeder.
One wee slip and you're using the other toilet.
So inside this, as John says, it's brought confidence to men all over the world. They can go down there and they can use a lawnmower. They can use the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. There's a Crop Preserver body odorant, the Crop Reviver toner, the Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hod your goodies. Now, let me say to you right now, it's insane. Dare I say it's the greatest bod trimmer of all time? Yeah, I just said it. It's fourth generation, it's cutting edge, there's a ceramic blade that reduces the grooming accidents that we've been talking about. They've got their advanced skin-safe technology. It's got 7,000 RPM motor. You're not going to find that anywhere else. And a new multifunction on-off switch, and you can engage a wee travel lock, so it gives you the ability to turn on the LED spotlight on and off when you need it for a more precise shave. Oh, and did I mention this? It's waterproof. So you thought that was good, but... Why don't we tell you about making your grooming game even better and taking it to the next level?
Yes, please, Greedo.
Well, you can chop your worst weed, not just at your buzz, but your nose and ear trimmer. It's a weed whacker. It's waterproof as well, and that uses 9,000 RPMs. It's a 360-degree rotary dual blade system. This nose and ear trimmer, I'm telling you, it's got proprietary skin-safe technology, and it helps prevent your nicks, helps prevent your snags, your tugs, and those delicate holes and crevices. Seal the deal with the liquid formulations, because I've put it over once, I've put it over a million times. The body odorant, before leaving the house every morning, I slap that on my boss, and we are in for a good day. You feel hygienic, you feel confident, you feel like an absolute ball of joy. Trust me when I say this, your boss will thank you.
It smells amazing.
It smells amazing, and it really lasts for 24 hours until you kind of re-top that up the next morning. You get your shower and you slap that back on.
I'll tell you this now, Gredo. See that body odorant? Honest to God, the bottle on the body odorant. See when I put it on? Mm-hmm. I can't get her face away from my crotch.
What a recommendation.
There you go. You can't get, what do you call that when somebody recommends something?
A testimony.
You're not going to get a better testimony than that from Chris Toll. So here is the deal. 20% off, free shipping. Use the code DAFT. Manscaped.com. That's 20% off, free shipping with the code DAFT. Your boys have been through enough this past year. Treat them with the best poo, with the best tools for the job. It's Manscaped.
It's now time for the part in the show, it's Football Daft Focus, where we talk about the big talking points in Scottish football. This week, we're going to focus on Aberdeen after the sacking of Stephen Glass, and where it has all went wrong for the Dons this season. Joining us for Football Daft Focus this week, Richard Wilkinson. He's the owner of radio station Beat 106. Remember Beat 106? The boys are desperate to talk to you about Beat 106, Sarge. He has also set up an Aberdeen fan page called Aberdeen Football Club, The Adventures of the Other Stevie G. You're definitely going to have to change the name of that now, Richard.
You are.
Welcome to Football Daft.
Hello.
Good to see you, mate. Brilliant. Beat 106, I remember when I got left to school every morning, my pal's dad used to blare it every morning. Oh, the tunes were brilliant.
Do you know what? It was the first radio station I remember that really played all the indie music that I liked.
Aye.
And it was dynamite.
This is where I have to put my legal hat on and go for clarity and for the sake of not having any legal issues. The Beat 106 Scotland that I run is not the same as the Beat 106 that was ran between the years of 1999 and 2006 by Global Radio.
So what you just think you can just steal their name?
No, well, so this is where I start to get into very difficult and John.
Let's just skip over this. We'll just avoid this.
I feel as if Toll's working up a Rangers joke in his head right now. I sit there going, he's going to say something.
If it's any help to you, I was there at the beginning of the original Beat 106 with Stuart Compass and Ali McCoist and Ron McCulloch and Carol Smiley and all of these people. So I've been there at the beginning, and hence the reason why I wanted to have another crack at it, so to speak.
Yeah.
Did you acquire the station's history?
Well done, Chris. Well done.
You got it.
And we got there in the end. Right, listen.
This year we're going for 22, I think.
B107.
Let's talk Aberdeen, Richard. Let's just start off. What has happened this season?
So, let me start saying by one thing is that Aberdeen fans, I can't vouch for other fans, but we kind of fall under three categories. The happy clappers, the blind faithers, who like everything is, you know, just get behind the team, support everything, question nothing. On the flip side of that, you have the chronic curmudgeons who, you know, live in the bygone Fergie era. Nothing is happy. Nothing is great. Everything's shit. And then you have what I call the reasoned realists in between, who are just kind of like the sort of seeing where we're at. And I think everybody was happy that Dave Cormack came along, that Stuart Milne left, and that Dave Cormack was going to bring a whole load of new ideas and new thinking. And it was always going to be the case where, you know, Dave Cormack, seen with a little bit of, you know, everybody was a bit suspicious. It was always the first big decision he was going to have to make was who was going to be the manager after Derek McInnes. Derek McInnes had, I think, to a lot of people, had overstayed his welcome, had taken the club back to respectability, then started to plateau after about, you know, sort of kind of years four and five, and by years sort of six, seven and eight, it was starting to kind of wane. And so with this, alliance with this kind of relationship that we have with Atlanta FC in America, where obviously Dave Cormack has sort of, settled down as an Aberdeen loon. But, you know, that's where a lot of his money, of his investment come from. We've got this relationship with Atlanta FC, and Stephen Glass had worked at Atlanta FC as a coach. And I think, you know, obviously as a past Don during a bygone, era of the 90s, he was very much, I guess, the chosen one in Dave McCormack's eyes. I'm not sure it was everybody else's eyes, but certainly in terms of this first choice for the manager, the clear choice in Dave Cormack's mind, it was Stephen Glass. And, you know, I think everybody wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think all Don's fans, you know, were hoping, but I think the only person he was the first choice was Dave Cormack. And we had a nice early run at the sort of early European games. Arguably, you know, it could be said we were playing a bunch of part-time farmers.
Yeah, but it did start off really well for Stephen.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, Aberdeen are going to be contenders this season.
Absolutely. And then we had a crappy September where we didn't win a game. I think we had a crappy November where we didn't win a game. And, you know, that was the sort of the time that people were going, I don't think this is going to work out. I don't think this is happening. The football is certainly far more attractive than under Derek McInnes. We weren't playing hoofball. We were trying to at least pass it around a bit and create chances. And listen, it's not all been horrendously doom and gloom, but it's just the results have not really come. We've had some good games against Celtic and Rangers, and obviously, you know, Celtic and Rangers fans say that we only, you know, turn up when we play them, and there's an element of truth to that. But, you know, with no, you know, sort of, you know, don't, no disrespect to the slightly diddier teams of, you know, St. Johnstone and what have you, We've lost games against teams that arguably we should be not battering, but should be well ahead of. So you know, I think potentially a good coach there, but as a manager, and certainly under a director of football who is pretty inexperienced as well, it's just not really kind of been, you know, not been the best of times, shall we say. The Glass era, I don't think, will go down as the greatest of Don's eras.
Well, you've got two draws against Rangers. I actually thought that might have been enough at one point, but when I saw the stuff on Saturday at Fir Park, what was your opinions about that?
Listen, I mean, you know, like everyone,
the scenes.
The scenes, you know, I think there's a lot of angry Don's fans, and, you know, as I said, they're an interesting bunch, Aberdeen fans, that, you know, I mean, I think if you remember earlier in the season, I can't remember whether it was a winner against Livingston in Livingston in the 94th minute, and there was a, you know, crowd invasion, and, you know, 3 or 4 years before, we were taking the piss out of Rangers fans for invading the Partick Thistle. You know, all we want to do is see good football, see some goals, win games, and, you know, like I said, to be dunted out of both cups at the first, well, not so much at the first opportunity because we beat Edinburgh City, but, you know, we've got punted by Raith Rovers in the League Cup, we got punted by Motherwell, you know, it just, it's frustrating, and it was, that really was the final straw to kind of go, we've done really well in the cup runs in the past, and you know, just like I said, it was the final nail in the coffin. A lot of people expecting Cormac to have given Glass until the end of the season, but, you know, fair play to Pearly Dave, as I call him. You know, he made the choice, and he's, you know, made the decision to end this little experiment. As for who replaces Stephen Glass, which is, I'm sure, is what you'll be sort of kind of moving on to next. I mean, that's the $64,000 question. I think
you'll need to pay more than that for a manager, mate.
Well, I don't know, but I think it's about £250,000 to get Jim Goodwin from St Mirren. So,
is that what they're quoting for it?
That's well, supposedly that's his release clause or some kind of, you know, that's how much it's going to cost to prize him from St Mirren.
Was Glass, would he have had to been sold to do it as well then? Would that have been a lot of money?
Yeah, he was on a 2.5 year deal, wasn't he?
It's all right, but because
no, Stephen Glass was on a 12-month rolling contract. Whenever you sacked him, he was going to get 12 months in his hip hurt. So,
But also, you need to take into account that when you take Glass back, you get a refund.
About 10p, which is about
I mean, Richard, though, I mean, when you look at actually the table, though, I mean, Aberdeen are only 3 points off fourth at this current point, you know, and on paper you look at that Aberdeen squad, and at the start of the season on this podcast we were talking them up. When you look at, you know, Ross McCrory's there, Declan Gallagher, Scott Brown, the guy Christian Ramirez, who looks like a player. You're bringing in J. Emmanuel Thomas from
Livingston.
J. Emmanuel Thomas is
Ellen McGill, Calvin Ramsey,
he's barely a
Lewis
player.
Ferguson. I mean,
Lewis Ferguson's as good a midfielder as there is in Scotland, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I go back to my chronic curmudgeon, reasoned realist, happy clapper. On paper, for a long time, Aberdeen have been a really impressive side. But on the pitch, it's just not, they're not as what's the word I'm looking for? You know, not as authoritarian or decisive, or, you know, like they just, you know, that on paper, that team should be cruising third place. And yeah. Should be, you know, particularly with, you know, with Hearts out of the league, and, you know, we go back to the McInnes era when Ronnie Dyler was Celtic manager. Rangers weren't, you know, I think were, you know, certainly languishing in the lower leagues on their comeback trail. You know, we had that, was it 2014, 2015? We had that season where, you know, January, February, January, you know, the Aberdeen might have actually been top or joint top or certainly up there with Celtic. And, you know, with a bit of investment, who's to say? But, I mean, that's Aberdeen, for, you know, for the past 30 years of shoulda, woulda, coulda. You know, I think like all of these players that in counter to what you're saying, John, you know, you've got Scott Brown, you've got Johnny Hayes, you've got Considine, who's been spent most of the time injured. A lot of players over the age of 30, you know, Aberdeen's squad is the oldest squad in the Premier League now, despite what has been great to see the likes of McKenzie and Ramsey, Connor Barron the other night there getting his first start, you know, lots of young players getting their opportunities. And clearly that's not going to happen overnight. And I think clearly what Glass was trying to do was more than certainly what Derek McInnes was doing, which was try these new younger kids out, give them the time. Dean Campbell's obviously gone down to Kilmarnock with Derek McInnes on loan. Vertanen was doing great things at Arbroath. He's not really been seen. I don't know whether he's injured. He's a great young midfielder. We've had horrible problems in defence. You know, Devlin, Michael Devlin has been, you know, on the, you know, they've named a wing after him in Cormac Park in terms of the, you know, the injury, you know, that he's not played. I think the 240 games that Michael Devlin has been available for, he's only been able to, the 240 games that have been played since Michael Devlin has signed, he's only been fit or able to play for 40 of them.
Is that right?
How can you keep on giving this guy a contract? You know, I know that this all kind of like, you know, it's, you know, the nice thing to do or whatever. I don't know. Or sort of tradition of not letting somebody go when they're injured. But that...
What you're meant to do in that case is shop them about all the teams in Europe, and Rangers will sign them on loan on the last day of the transfer window.
What Devlin will inevitably end up doing is signing for St Johnstone and be miraculously fit again, like Stevie May and what was the name of the other guy that we had. Going back to your question, John, because I've rambled on for about 5 minutes now. There are a lot of good players there, and to Stephen Glass's credit, you know, I don't quite know where it came from, but the signing of Ramirez this season, has been the striker that we've all been craving for since, you know, and arguably in certain places far better than Rooney, you know, but we haven't had as prolific a number nine since Adam Rooney, and that's been a good few years now. You know, it's just, again, it's this sort of perennial feeling of underachievement as a Dons fan, of just going, oh God, not again. And I really hope that whoever the new manager is, it looks like being Jim Goodwin. It still feels a bit of the kind of vanilla option.
Do you want Jim Goodwin? Who do you want there? If you don't want Jim Goodwin, who do you want?
See, I honestly don't know. I know who I don't want, but I mean, we all want to see the Ange effect here. We all kind of want a Postecoglou style.
You can't have him, all right?
Well, I know we can't have him, but I want to know if he's got any good mates in Japan or Australia that fancy, you know, I mean, for a good rowie or a buttery up in Aberdeen, you know, a few of those, I'm sure.
By the way, you should maybe be looking towards like Kevin Muscat and all of that. He's old number twos, you know, because they all
number twos indeed.
Aye, all right.
The perennial Lamberts, what I will say, and this is my one vaguely funny line for the day, is going, at least Aberdeen, you know, the news today of Mark McGee going to Dundee, I mean, you know, at least Aberdeen
can't
mess it up as much as Dundee have done in terms of signing a guy who... I genuinely don't understand how he keeps getting jobs. I mean, clearly Gordon Strachan has, I think he said, and you might have to edit this bit out, I think McGee said that Gordon Strachan had very much gone into bat for Mark McGee to get this job. I mean, the word seal clubbing in terms of going into bat for somebody to get Mark McGee a job, I just, you know, who would hire this guy? I mean, a legend as a footballer for Aberdeen, and I'm not But as a manager, oh my word. Anyway.
He loves a camera phone. Loves a camera phone.
Oh, he does indeed. Get that thing away. So,
Tolles suggested earlier on in the podcast about getting Gordon Strachan back and then being the manager.
Well, so the rumours go, Strachan like hates us now. I mean, there's definitely some politics at play. I don't know whether this is true or not, but I think with regards to all the Gothenburg stuff and the celebrations of anniversaries and things like that, as I hear and understand it, I don't know. I'm just putting the disclaimer there of going, there were some issues with Gordon Strachan with regards to that. As I understand it. So I'm not sure.
That's not the same case with McLeish, is it?
I think McLeish is still held in relatively good fettle.
I really embarrassed myself one night when I met him and I was talking, I was going, you don't actually look up Aberdeen results still, do you? And he went, well, of course I do. And I was like, and then I actually realised what he'd done to Aberdeen. I actually was fucking dead embarrassed. And it makes me think, would that be an option for you as well?
I think you should have John Kennedy personally. Do you want John Kennedy?
I think it might be a risk. I think the thing for me with the Strachans and the, you know, so there's two things for me that, you know, that having to, you know, I mean, you hear it mostly, I think, with Rangers fans about their managers being a Rangers man. And I think there are some, let's just say, more staunch Aberdeen fans who think it's important to be an Aberdeen man. And I personally kind of go, I couldn't care less. I think there was definitely a bit of a, well, Dermot McInnes, he's a bit of a blue nose, so he'll never be one of us. And, you know, again, I go, to me, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, you know, religion, color, creed, whatever. If you're winning games, if you're scoring goals, if you're playing attractive football, come on board. And for me, you know, Lennon's been mentioned, Lambert's been mentioned. Thank God McGee wasn't mentioned. You know, just the usual kind of suspects. And I go, yeah.
We were talking about that.
Aberdeen once upon a time was this sort of kind of progressive club. It was the first to introduce dugouts. I think it was one of the first to introduce spotlights.
Right, I did not know that.
It was one of the first to introduce, I think it had the first all-seater stadium in the UK. I mean, admittedly, they were all like sort of wooden benches and things like that. But, you know, we've got plenty of spare seats now. so, you know, just the talk of whatever the Knutson manager, who's the whatever the guy that Celtic are playing tonight. Sorry, this is Thursday night.
Yeah, there's been talk of him, but actually,
He's rebuffed the conversation. And the
hold on a minute. The Bodo Glimt manager has been touted for the Aberdeen job.
He's been put in the frame. Yep, he's been put in the frame.
But he's getting spoken in the same sort of terms as the Ajax manager and stuff like that.
So yeah, I think what happened there was, again, if you go on forums, if you go on, you know, fan pages and Facebook pages like mine, you'll get people like I saw him described on Twitter as the hipster's choice. For Aberdeen fans, kind of going, you know, because
end up at Partick Thistle,
the Chael Knutson.
Yes, and there's a Thomas Dahl, somebody else, or Thomas Dahl,
the Malmo manager.
Thomason.
Yeah, he was mentioned by some Dons fans as who they would like. I'm not
Why stop there? Why not just go for Pep?
Well, I mean, you have some people yesterday on, various sites talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I heard that as well. Charlie Nicholas was talking about
Charlie Nicholas says more than his prayers. Come on now.
Fergie's coming up next weekend. He can give Ole a wee call. And we've got this Fergie day, I think, next weekend. And
Bring him out of retirement. Fergie out of retirement.
It's supposed to reveal a Fergie statue. I don't know whether it was outside Pataudry or at Cormac Park. And you know, someone was going, it's not going to be a Fergie statue. Under the covers is going to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And it's going to be amazing. And it's like going, what planet are you on? I think you're smoking the same stuff that Charlie Nicholas was. I don't know. I think, you know, Jim Goodwin seems to me to be, again, if you put yourself in Dave Cormack's shoes, you've had a wee experiment with your mate and it didn't work out. So, you know, we've done all right by
us. We've done that growing up, didn't we? We all done that growing up, boys.
We've had a St Mirren manager in the past, and he did all right. Some guy called Alex Ferguson. So sure. Whether that's a hope, I don't know. I mean, again, either way, most Dons fans will give any manager the benefit of the doubt, whether, you know, where they've come from. You know, what was, again, so long as they're playing attractive football, scoring goals,
even Barry.
Even Barry Ferguson? From Alloa to Aberdeen. I mean, you know.
Yeah, Grado, stop touting up this move. It's not going to happen. I know he's a friend of the show, but it's not going to happen.
John, think about it, right? Barry Ferguson gets that job.
Right.
Imagine how well Lewis would want to play for his uncle.
That's true. That is true. Richard, can Aberdeen finish fourth?
I think they can. This is the frustrating thing of kind of going, you know, you pointed out earlier on in terms of, you know, was it 3 or 4 points? You know, that St Johnstone game the other day, you know, was a perfect opportunity to, you know, to start, but it was a game in hand to propel up the table. You know, the players are there. I don't know the latest on Scott Brown's injury, but you know, clearly he'd be an instrumental part of you know, the rest of the season. We've got you know, in terms of before the split, we're playing quite a few of the if you like the, you know, the Dundees and the lower, you know, the sort of teams with lesser form. So I think it's definitely possible, but there needs to be a consistency. There needs to be goals coming from the midfield. Ramirez can't be the only guy, you know, banging the goals up front. And it's all to play for. I think, you know, if you're a Hibs fan, a Motherwell fan, an Aberdeen fan, a Dundee United fan, You're sitting there going, anything is possible. Yeah. Europe could be a realistic contention. So, you know, but from an Aberdeen fan's perspective is going, you know, we should be up there with Hearts. We should be, you know, in terms of performances, in terms of, you know, goals scored and games and points and what have you. So in answer to your question, fourth, absolutely achievable. I really hope whoever they do get in, you know, that is absolutely because that's where we should be. That's what we should be doing. And I think that's what the Aberdeen fans deserve to see. But fair play to all the other teams in and around us, St Mirren as well. You know, it's been interesting, certainly the outside of the other two at the top.
Yeah. Well, you're saying there, can they finish fourth? Hearts are on a bit of a slide now. You know what I mean? And they're only 6 points ahead now. They're not
6 points ahead.
They've lost their last two games. They get beat off Dundee. They get beat off Rangers, and they get beat off Celtic. 3 games in a row they've lost.
I know. Hearts are 10 points clear.
Are they 10?
They're 10 points clear of four. So that's, I think that's a bit of a mountain to climb. But
I mean, as much as I'd love to see a spectacular collapse and add Aberdeen, you know, sort of race into bronze position, I don't think it's going to happen. Nielsen would have to have a spectacular, you know. I think he'd be, you know, from that position. But you know, fourth in what was, you know, already already going to be a transitional season, you know, clearly is a transitional season for even more reasons. I think you'd have some fans, you know, sort of 2-3 months ago saying we'd be lucky to make the top six. So, as I said, fair fucks to the chairman for making the call and not prolonging the agony, realizing that it was a mistake, but he really needs to make sure that this decision for this his second managerial choice. Otherwise, he starts going down the Stuart Milne route of just, oh my God, you've signed who? Oh my God, you've signed who? Oh my God, you've signed who? And, you know, as a guy who signed Mark McGee, and we're back to Mark McGee. I really don't like Mark McGee.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for coming on Football Daft. Check out Beat106 Scotland online if you get the chance. And Aberdeen fan page, Aberdeen Football Club, The Adventure. What are you going to change the name of the fan page to?
Well, I
change the manager.
Well, it depends on the manager. It usually depends on the manager and usually a musical reference. So when I started it, it was about trying to get Stuart Mellon out, and that wasn't really music related. But then when Derek McInnes, it was Aberdeen Football Club, run by DMC. So that was always a really cool name. And was he a Bradford City manager or Bristol City manager before? They had the t-shirts with Derek McInnes's face and the Run DMC logo. So that was I just nabbed that. That was great.
Right,
you stole that name and all, just like the bloody radio station.
It's called recycling. It's not recycling. Repurposing. Reimagining, I think they call it.
Absolutely. Well, we'll look to find out what the new name of the page when the manager comes in. Richard, thank you so much.
Cheers, Richard.
Lovely to speak to you. If Paul Harper and if Paul Laurie and if Ali Begg and if Graham Park aren't available again, then I'm more than happy to come back on and talk about Aberdeen.
Magic.
So. Brilliant. Right.
Football Daft's big question.
So it's the big question. After we discussed last week Tony Watt coming back to haunt Motherwell and getting in a fight with Alan Burrows last week, we thought this week we'd ask about that one ex-player that came back to haunt your team. Now, Chris, Grado went straight to Kenny Miller last week, as did you. But is there anybody else you can think of that's come back to haunt you?
I only say Kenny Miller because Grado said Kenny Miller. But see, when you take into account the amount of goals he scored against us, I should be saying him.
I know.
But see, the one that sticks out in my mind, and it didn't cost us anything in particular. In fact, you know, I think it did actually. I think it cost his qualification for the group stage. Harold Brattback.
I remember that.
Was it Lugino scored 2 goals or something?
He scored 2 goals against us for Rosenborg in the Champions League. First ever Champions League. We beat them at home 1-0. They beat us away 2-0. And because of that, we missed out on qualification. If we'd have got a point against them, we would have went through when we beat Juve in the last game of the groups.
So you did. So I've completely forgot about that one. Grady, you got one?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think. There was... there's Boyd. Boyd done it.
Yeah.
Boyd beat us 2-1. I remember that. And I think it was quite a late goal as well. But that was at a time... What season would that have been? There must be more ex-players.
But I guess with Rangers, a lot
it never happens to Rangers.
Yeah,
because I don't feel as if it's happened a lot.
A lot of your ex-players will go down to kind of drop down to, I guess, England or go abroad. You know, a lot of your better players. So you don't have that kind of haunt.
What about
Chris Boyd?
Do you know, I say Chris Boyd.
Is that who you said?
I say Chris Boyd, but do you know who just come out of my head as well? Burke's done it.
Well, that's funny.
The last game Coutinho had, that was a game when I was in the director's box. I'm sure he went up the part and scored.
Yeah, it's one of the punters' answers on this one. I'm going to go. One that broke my heart was at Brockville. Yogi Hughes returned to Brockville for the first time with Celtic.
And he's
winning header against Falkirk.
He was like a fucking steam train when he got going, wasn't he? There was no stopping him.
I know. 1-0 at Brockville. I was gutted for that. There's been so many. Falkirk have got so many players in every division now because we've went through about 100 players in the last 3 seasons. There's a Falkirk player in just about every squad in the SPFL now. So we get scored against ex players all the time.
But that is funny that you say that. But that probably doesn't happen to Old Firm teams as much as what it did.
No, it doesn't.
It happens to Celtic all the time, mate. Is all it? The fucking time. Aye, there's a few on this list, Grado.
Let's delve into it.
Right, okie doke. So, Andrew has come in first and he said, not an ex-player, but I could have swung for that pecker Jordan Jones scoring the winner against us days after signing a pre-contract.
See, remember we had that argument with you and Cameron. I didn't feel that way when Jordan Jones scored that goal. It was mere, well, at least he can score.
Aye.
I may have put the blame on the defence that night, but I can see why he's said that. Scott says, Joe Inge Berge.
Joe Inge Berge.
Joe Inge Berge. Absolute mins for Celtic on loan. Then he put 2 passes the following season for Malmo at Parkhead to put us at the Champions League.
Aye.
Their fans had a great time that night digging up all tweets where I'd slaughtered them.
Chris, can't believe you didn't get this one. Ricky Larsson scoring for Barca against Celtic. Never won the game, but still felt shit when he scored. He didn't celebrate. He was one of those ones where he didn't celebrate.
Aye, and do you know what? Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was trying to get me celebrate. That
was he?
That weasel. That fucking weasel Van Bronckhorst. Was I was like, remember the time when... I think it was Gary Neville or somebody, or Phil Neville scored the Ibrox on Man Aye. United, and Roy Keane's like, celebrate your prick!
Chris?
So Grant says, Pedro Mendes scored one of the best Old Firm goals at Parkhead, but he also made Rangers aware of Pedro Kishina, didn't he?
God, it's funny because that is a good point. That is a great point because I remember being comforted at the time seeing the likes of Mendes at Parkhead. Remember when Coutinho was...
Aye.
I think we'd as the manager and we played just that weekend, I think it was one each. But I remember being comforted and going, well, we can't be that bad because Mendes knows him and Mendes is backing him up. And then after a couple of years, you're going, fucking Pedro Mendes. In fact, I'm sure... Sorry, here I go again. But he was at the Legends game no longer after he got the sack. I was surprised to see him there.
Pedro?
So was. Aye. Hold on. Albert's legend. Aye, there we go. The Chris Butt, 95th minute equaliser for Ibrox. At Ibrox for Kilmarnock to make it 1-1 during a certain Portuguese man's reign. Well, that was his last night in the job.
John goes, Scott McDonald scores... John goes, Scott McDonald scores the goal that lost us the league. The following season, he signs for Celtic Athletic. All was forgiven.
Right, so I want to get into your mind with this one.
Right.
Do you forgive him at the season after?
I never held any fucking disdain towards him. The guy was playing football for his team and he scored two goals.
You're a good man.
I'm in the same way with you, Grado, with the Jordan Jones thing. I mean, it was like, see if he hadn't been bothering his arse and then we turned around and signed him. Like, why are we signing him? Somebody that can do it against us, so in that way you think he can do it for us. So, you know, you get behind him. And he's just a good professional playing football for his team.
You're right. Ross says, my ex bought me a signed / framed print of Chris Boyd scoring for Scotland for a Christmas present a couple of years ago. She thought it was a good present, but 3 days before Christmas, Boydie netted a double for Kelly, beating us 2-1. Didn't appreciate it one bit when I opened up on Christmas morning. That's a shame. That's a shame for the missus, isn't it?
Great, Chris. I'll let you have the last one here.
David Hay says, Kenny Miller, the only player to score for all three Old Firm teams.
Gary doesn't find that funny. It's the Player Profile Playoff with piesports.com, bringing you the taste of Scottish football right to your door. We eat over 1 million pies a year at the football, so why not get them delivered to your door? You can get Scotch, steak and gravy, macaroni, and of course the new one which we're all raving about here at Football Daft, the Doner Kebab Pie. So get
by
on
the way,
website.
Pie Sports have just sent me the Doner Kebab Pies, so I have to pick them up tomorrow.
Magic.
Are you not had one yet, Gregor?
No, and I really can't have one now, to be honest with you.
Oh, because you're going free, I keep forgetting you're going free.
Just make an exception.
Mate. What did you say, Gary?
Send it out of me.
I was going to say, mate. Gary, let's play for double.
Exactly, you'll play okay. For double. Gary, you might
be. Wait a minute, he needs to play Grado then.
All right, okay. This is our contestant today, it's Gary Moffat. He's a Motherwell supporter. How you doing, Gary?
All good. Thanks very much. I'm doing good.
Brilliant.
Grado wants to ask
you. Is that a legit Scottish replica tap you've got on?
No, that was an AliExpress job. 15 quid.
Everyone has those.
I bought it for the Euros.
Yeah, as everybody did. Tony Watt, let's talk Tony Watt. Obviously moved up to Dundee United, getting a square go Alan Burrows a couple of weeks ago. What have you made of Tony Watt, and what have you made of Motherwell's season so far, Gary?
Tony Watt's went from hero to zero quite quickly. He was seeing how much a family club Motherwell was and how much he felt at home. And since he's jumped ship, all the fans have turned her back big time. But obviously, he was offered a 3-year deal and he's doing his best interest, obviously, for a financial package. Whether he thinks it's ambitious jumping to a team that's kind of level in the league, I don't know. But I wasn't at Dundee United that night, but I seen his kind of, after his celebration, kind of holding his ears. And I know him and Burrows had a few words, but they kind of made up after it. So
yeah. Yeah.
But aye, he's moved on and Motherwell's moved on, so.
Yeah. Graham Alexander going well. He's got Motherwell doing well this season, hasn't he?
He's playing well. He's installed kind of a bit of steel in the team. The only thing for me is he's rotating a fair bit. Right. Seems to chop and change his forwards and his midfield. But no, we're getting results. Went through a bad spell there, 5 or 6 games. But I was at the Aberdeen game on Saturday and we played well. And we'll get the game at home on Saturday in the league. So, especially with no manager now, we're hope to beat them again on Saturday.
Aye.
Do you ken a guy called John the Bomb Graham?
Aye, he's the kind of aye. He does the removal company.
Aye, aye, aye. Do you know him though?
Well, I know John the Bomb.
John the Bomb.
I know who he is. I've not actually spoke to him, but I know. Aye.
I used to work with a guy that I think is one of the biggest Marvel fans in the world, and his name's James Warrie. Do you know him?
Right, the riddle for the punters for you guys next week, right, and get in before Dino does, come on. Right, here you are. This is your riddle for next week. French City is not a good father.
James Warrie? No.
No, nah. Maybe he needs to get a move.
Listen, just like you two, because you're an Old Firm supporter, you think our supporters and don't support the Old Firm care each other, do you know what I mean?
John, for fuck's sake, there's only 10 of you at Falkirk, obviously, you know each other.
Did you go to school with Gordon Duncan?
I know Gordon Duncan. I was friends with one of his pals, so I know who he is.
Who's his pal? His pal
is Gary Gout, and he's got another pal, Derek Watson.
And Derek, that's another guy I know.
Listen, you're dispelling my argument here, Gary. Right, okay.
It's all joining together.
It's all joining up together. Let's crack on with the quiz, right? You probably know how it works, Gary. I am going to read out a player. You just got to guess who that player is before one of these two do, right? If you do buzz in and guess the player, but you get it wrong, the player continues with the other player. First two wins. We need a buzzer from you, though, Gary. What's your buzzer going to be?
Well, shout Kim on the well.
I'm on the well. I'll flip a coin to see who you're playing. Heads, it's Grado. Tails, it's Toe. And heads, it is Grado.
Did we not agree that I was going to do it anyway?
Aye.
Oh, did we? So we did. Grado, what's your buzzer?
What?
Right, okay.
That's just right. Stone Cold. No, I'm not rubbing in the Tony Watt stuff. It's just a Stone Cold catchphrase.
Right, there's a couple of managers being sacked this week. We've already spoken to Richard about Stephen Glass. James McPake went. So I am going to focus on managers that have been sacked in Scotland this season. Okay? So you've got to guess the manager from the clue. Okay, you ready for your first one, boys?
Aye.
Right. This former Clyde, Falkirk and St Mirren right back. Grado.
Jack Ross.
1-0.
Holy shit, mate.
Wow.
Come on.
How did you get that?
You've got to do is think the most... You know what's going on?
I immediately went to Gary Bowen there for some reason. I don't know.
Gary Bowen?
I know.
Right. Next one up. Here you go. Come on, Gary. This man played as a midfielder for Alloa, Southampton, Ostersunds, Inverness, Cowie, Ayr, Aberdeen, St Johnstone and Arbroath. While continuing as a player, he was appointed manager of Arbroath in May 2010. He held his position until June 2014 when he returned to Aberdeen as a youth team coach. He became manager of Falkirk in May 2021, but was sacked later that year and rejoined Derek McInnes at Kilmarnock.
What? That's not my buzzer.
Oh my God.
Oh. What? Am I getting this right here?
He was sacked as Falkirk manager this year.
Well, that's... Oh, fuck, who's that? I know this because you talk about them every week. Who's a Falkirk manager?
Monabell, I'll guess Gary Holt.
Guy.
Gary Holt is wrong. He was the sporting director. Grado, you got to get his name, no?
I'm trying to think who was the Falkirk manager this year.
Falkirk were in the shit and... They had a big EGM and they were off shouting. Yeah. Gary
he was muckled up with Derek McInnes.
We don't need to talk about that. Yes,
is it Lee Fingway? Lee Fingway?
No.
No, it's not Lee Fingway. Right, it's Paul Sheeran, boys. Paul Sheeran was
there.
Right, okay, next one up.
Brother.
This man's playing career saw spells at Rangers, Exeter, Kilmarnock, Dunfermline and St Mirren. His management career began at his final playing club, St Mirren, initially as player manager, who he guided to promotion in 2006. Oh. He's since returned to management.
What?
Queen of the South and Queen's Park.
What? Dave. Gus McPherson.
Gus McPherson is the correct answer. It is a 2-0 whitewash for Grado, and he's back in the game. I'm sorry, Gary.
That was good, by the way. I can't compete with that.
He did well. He did well.
By the way, I'm going to tell you, you'd have beat me there.
Aye.
Aye. Honestly, nah, I had no idea.
Okay, oh, man, I'm pure delighted with myself, man.
Look at his big cheeser. Look at his big cheeser. And I guess aye, man, because... I'm so sorry. I guess because you're now going free, Grado, Gary's going to have to get the pies, is he?
Gary can have the pies unless somebody's got tore into them at the Go Radio Studios by the time I get them. You'll get extra pies, mate.
Yes.
Brilliant, brilliant. Gary, thanks for coming on Football Daft. Really appreciate you listening to
thanks
the show.
Much.
And if you appreciate want it. To get pies from Pie Sports, go to piesports.com right now.
Now time for Grado's Three Riddles on Football Daft.
Welcome to another edition of Grado's Three Riddles. The scores currently are as follows.
Oh, do you want me to do that bit?
Okay.
Right, Ali McDonald on one, Pat the Pallet Prick on
oh,
one.
Oh, wait a minute, who got in first? Remember
well,
we moved
I'll tell
that
you
bit.
That in a minute. That's a big review is coming. Declan Ramage on one, Albert's Legend on one, John Mitchell on one, Ryan O'Baron 2, Ian Meikle on one, Jack on one, Nicola Purden on 2, Stephen on 14, John on 17, Chris on 31.
He get back in again, didn't he?
Do you remember last week how we hid the riddle within the show to try and outfox Dean, who always skips this bit of the show, gets the riddle and is the first to tweet in? The wee bastards went and done it again. He found the riddle within the show and he got the point. So Dino is up now to 6 points on this feature. He
that
says,
is funny, man.
He
now,
said,
let me ask you, John. Did you place the riddle before or after the riddle segment?
Before the riddle
right,
segment.
So we need to move it about.
Right, okay. Well, we'll just put it here. And someone get in quick for this. We might have to get Dean on for this feature every week. That's the only fair way I can think of doing it now. So, but
I don't know. I think he's a threat to my throne.
Well, Dino says me getting these riddles right is about as predictable as a penalty to Rangers.
Oh, Dean's a Celtic supporter. Gun yourself.
I'm guessing so. So, last week Dino got this one right. We asked a Weasley's male sheep comes after here, which the answer was, of course, Chris. No, it wasn't. A Weasley's male sheep comes after here. Ah, Ron Weasley. Male
Ron,
sheep Ram
yeah.
comes after here. Say, ah, Ron Ramsey, which was just exactly the same as Grado did, but he did it in a smarter way.
Did I get it right?
You did get it right last week, but you've completely forgotten it this week.
Man,
Grado, you've got riddles for us, haven't you?
Do you know what? I've actually got three. I've just thought of one right there. I'm just putting it together, right?
This is a fluid show,
this
ladies
is,
and gentlemen.
This is brutal, right? So let's just, we're going to end it because these are going to be very quickly told. Should get these fairly quite fast.
I'm trying
right?
to get back on the point.
Champing at the bit here.
Right, so the first one, actually, I've seen a wee bit of this in the news. So it has to do with Scottish Fit, but if you don't know the news, you might struggle with it. But if you can connect the dots, then you might be able to get it. But the first riddle is stealing the shortbread. Stealing.
Nicky Walker.
Fuck, well done, John. Did
yes!
you read that article, aye?
No, what's Nicky Walker is the hair.
It's Nicky Walker that played with Rangers.
He was a goalkeeper for Thistle. He was Thistle goalkeeper.
Thistle goalie.
Dyed your hair.
That was Nicky Clark.
But yes, I believe Nicky Walker is actually the heir to the Walker's shortbread throne.
He is now being promoted. He's now the Vince McMahon of the Walker's shortbread.
Is he really?
Well, should I say he's the Shane McMahon? He's now in charge of Walker's.
I've got a story about Nicky Walker. I've scored a goal into him. Legit, by the way.
Save this section.
Right, so Wallop. Volley, no, it wasn't a volley, it was a penalty kick. It was a penalty competition at a primary school round close to my house, and I scored one penalty. But I genuinely scored it. It wasn't a case of him letting it in. I scored it. And I was like, ah, you're a fucking dancer.
Do you know what? That's a great question for next week. Have you ever played with it? Like, if it's 7-a-sides, 5-a-sides on the park, have you ever played with a professional footballer? That's the big question for next week.
I'm sure we've done this before. Cause
no, I don't think we have. I don't think we have done that one before. So we'll get that. We'll get that on the big question next week. Okay, 1-0 me. Thanks very much, Grado. Next one.
Right, next one. Well done, John. Let's go for this one. I've just fought you right now, right? take the high road shopkeeper eating custard.
Effie Ambrose.
Effie Ambrose!
Yeah, beauty.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I was thinking Isabel. I was like, Isabel Ambrose. Isabel Ambrose.
Isabel Ambrose. Okay, here's the
Oh, Isabel had the shot before Effie, didn't she?
Did Isabel have the shot before Effie?
I think so.
Right, okay.
By the way, we plug for Take the High Road. It is available on the STV player. You can
Are
watch
you still watching it, Grado?
By the way, a day now and again. It's brilliant.
It's good. It's good. By the way, David Sneddon, what? He's an animal.
David Sneddon's an animal.
Right, last one.
Right, last one. This one's pathetic. Slang for leave more.
Morelos. No.
We mare.
That's amazing.
I'd like to take this time to thank my sponsors, ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like taking a call on the train or the bus on speaker for everybody to hear. Do you really want the whole train to know about?
The Scuddies you've been watching.
Correct. Everybody needs a VPN. Internet service providers, they know every single website that you visit. Not only that, the ISPs, they sell the information to the ad companies and the big tech giants. They then use their data and they target you. So why should you use ExpressVPN? Well, it reroutes your network data through a secure encrypted tunnel so that your ISP, it can't see hee-haw, and it can't sell your online activity. It's easy to use. You just fire up the app, click one button, and by the way, it's rated all over the globe. It's number one rated in The Verge and Tech Radar. And by the way, it doesn't just work on your computer. It works in your phone. It works in your laptop. It even works in your router so that everybody who's on your Wi-Fi, they can be protected as well. Get yourself sorted out. It's easy to use. It hides your internet data. It hides your websites that you're visiting. You can go on BBC iPlayer if you're abroad and you can catch that. You can get Netflix in other countries and watch plenty of different other programs and stuff like that. So get yourself protected online, expressvpn.com/daft today. That's expressvpn.com/daft, and you can get 3 extra months free.
It's time for the Football Daft Moment of the Week, and last week's results are in, and they are as follows. I'm sorry, Chris.
I'm not playing anymore.
Your choice of Tony Watts scoring against his former club Motherwell only got 3%. I think it's maybe the description. I just put up Watt because you told me just put up Watt, so I just put up Watt and that only got 3%. And third was my choice of Hamilton and Hamilton playing against Hamilton, who also had a Hamilton, and that only got 15%. I thought it was very good, that. Grado, you got a second place.
What was mine again?
Our captain, football daft cult hero, Ricky Little, who made Team of the Week, only got 19%. Be shamed, you football daft listeners. Ricky should have won. Of course, fucking here he goes again. Shooty in Stevie Purden, pandered to everyone, and he put down the Colombian Prince's return to form, and that got 63%. So, but Grado, you were second, so you get to choose first this weekend. What is your football daft moment of the week?
I'm going to take a leaf out Bob's book.
Fuck yourself.
That was a good moment.
What was it?
Fashion Sakala's goal at Galabank, under the lights in Galabank.
The cross, it was a cross, it wasn't even a goal.
But it wasn't just that, John, it was everything. It was the cross, was it a cross, was it a goal? It was the goal celebration. It was Roy Mackay's reaction on the touchline, passing himself. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah, I mean, It was funny.
Roy, it was literally panty Roy Mackay about 2 minutes after the goal scored, and he'd obviously been pissing himself because tears was coming down his eyes, going like that, and he was rubbing his face, pissing himself at it. So it was just a wholesome moment.
Nice,
a wholesome moment. Right, from now on, right, own club stuff is banned. All right,
yeah, aye, I'm fully behind that.
Right,
John,
okay,
own club stuff. Chris, what have you got?
I'm going to go for one that's outside of Scottish football because I came across a story the other day, and I'm not going to lie to you, it warmed my heart. It warmed my heart, John and Gredo. Right, so this story is the story of Swindon Town's hunt for a six-year-old boy who wrote a letter to the club saying that he and his mum couldn't afford tickets to watch the team play. It sparked a huge reaction on the internet. The wee boy whose name, he only signed his name, is Joe.
Oh.
Also enclosed 26p for his favourite player, Harry McCurdy. Now, the letter says, Mummy
that's
doesn't...
That must be that player that I'm always getting tagged in, H. McCurdy.
It must be.
He's always scoring, this guy. And every time he scores, they go, Scott, Hugh McCurdy, or whatever. But anyway, keep going, man, because this is a nice story.
The wee boy's letter read, Mummy doesn't have any money to come to Swindon games because she has no money for food and has to pay for my dinner at school.
Oh my God.
I like Swindon Town, Harry McCurdy. I will come one day. From Joe, 6.5.
Oh my God.
Do you know what, man? This, first of all, one, it makes me feel bad that I try to get myself over during that and mention my name is the same as that guy's in Scotland. That makes me feel really, really bad. But
no, you should.
It's an eye opener, but isn't it? It really is.
I know. Listen, if this doesn't beat fucking Roy Mackay laughing on the touchline, I will be very disappointed on our football.
It's a heartless bunch.
Very disappointed. Right. So that's a beautiful, beautiful story. Hopefully,
but it's also it's really like. Sign of the times as well, but
big time, mate. Big time.
Yeah, sign of the times, man. We're forgetting there's a lot of folk out there that are on their knees.
Yeah,
and you know, we things like that. You think ourselves lucky that we can get to watch the FITBA and stuff like that. There's wee guys out there that love FITBA just as much as any other wee boy or lassie that loves the FITBA, but they kind of get to go to games and stuff like that.
You're right.
Segment.
I know, but it just makes you think, doesn't it? It's just fucking really sad. Maybe it's just because this is the kind of shit that I'm. See, a lot of folk would go, you don't get it, but once you're a dad, you start thinking about wee things.
You do,
like that.
Aye,
but you do, man.
Aye, 100%.
Absolutely.
100%, man.
Hopefully, Swindon, I know they're trying to track him down, so hopefully they can get this wee boy to football. It'd be amazing if they could. That could be our next.
If they can't get Harry, they can get Hugh, man.
They can get Hugh McCurdy.
Is that inappropriate?
No, that's fine.
That's funny.
Right, okay, I'll go next then. I would like to put, from a football daft moment of the week, and I didn't talk about this in the podcast last week, but I want to put over half-time draws. You know, everyone buys a ticket for a half-time draw at the football, you know, whether they call it a 50-50 or whatever you call it, Celtic Park or Rangers, the Rangers raffle or whatever it is, right? My mate won the
one. That's the only one nobody wins it.
Yeah. my mate, and it's the first person I've ever known to win a half-time draw. He won it at Steny Muir a couple of weeks ago. We went down there, had a couple of pints. The boy came, sold the tickets. The bastard and thing is, I was a ticket before him, so I'd missed the jackpot. Oh,
mate, see, half-time draws, I don't know if I've told you this story before, but we used to go to East Stirling all the time when my mate played for them, right? So me and my mate's dad went through East Stirling. And his wee brother as well, right? So we've all bought tickets for the draw. Right? I'm sorry, this is brilliant, right? We've all bought tickets for the draw, right?
Right.
And his dad's bought his ticket and then my mate's bought his ticket. I've bought one. His wee brother's bought one, right? So my mate was away at half time for to go for a push or something, right? And obviously his dad's looked at his ticket and he's seen his own number. Right, and when my mate comes back, his dad goes, oh, fuck, I was only one off. Right, and my mate goes, what do you mean? He's like, I'll get 767, it was 768. And he knew that would be my mate's number, right? So my mate's went into his pocket, he went, I've got 768, fucking ran onto the pitch. Right, right on to the pitch to the guy that's in the middle of the pitch with a microphone. Fucking, I've got 768, I've got 768, the guy's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Oh man, it is so funny, man. So funny.
It's funny.
That's brilliant. So there you go. You should have put that as your football daft moment of the week. That's a brilliant story. I'm putting half time draws as my moment of the week because my mate won it steady. So £270, no bad. And I got a pint out of it at least. This week's listener nomination, however, might win it. It comes from Ryan. Now, a lot of people have messaged us this. River City this week, I've screened, a lot of people
it's coming here.
A shot of Stephen Purden on the River City in his garage with a Celtic mug drinking out of it. Right.
By the way, fair play to Stevie, because that's just a bam up.
Aye.
There's no other reason for that. That's just a bam up.
See, I remember years ago, but watching River City, and he was on it, and
he had a Henry Larson poster.
He was like, they were like, oh, so like your hero. And he went, definitely Henry Larson, the King of Kings.
As I've always said, Stephen Purden should at least get a Scottish BAFTA, if not an Oscar, for the fact, as staunch as we all know Stephen is, he's a Celtic supporter.
I'll tell you this, and I see. If Martin Scorsese knew Stevie and he seen that bit of acting, he'd be in the next Mafia movie.
So that is your options for this week. We've got Grado's.
Fashion's passion is unrivaled.
We've got Chris's.
Hey Joe, where did you go?
We've got mine, half-time draws, and we've got the listener nomination from Ryan, Stephen drinking out a Celtic mug. That's your nominations for the Football Daft Moment of the Week. Get voting on our Twitter now, at Football Daft Pod, and hopefully, we'll have someone other than Stephen Purden win next week. No, well, he's not here, but if Stephen Purden, you know what I mean.
He could actually win it. Well,
he could win it without being here. Jesus. Right, get voting now, Football Daft Pod. Remember, you can get more content now from Football Daft on our Patreon channel. Just in case you don't know what Patreon is, subscription service. You can pick what tier. We've got various amount of tiers up there. You pay a monthly fee for us and you'll get access to different types of content from us. You'll get the video version of this podcast on the lower tier. You'll get the video version of Rangers and Celtic Daft on the lower tier. If you go to our next tier, you'll become a pundit on Rangers and Celtic Daft if you want. We've got the outtakes up there as well. You'll get cameos from the boys. You get free t-shirts if you sign up for 3 months. I need to get the t-shirts sorted out. I keep saying that.
John.
I know loads and loads of stuff up there for you to get involved with. So all you need to do is sign up to patreon.com/footballdaft, patreon, patreon.com, Football Daft, all one word. Get involved now. You'll see all our teammates from our previous guests. We're going to get our guests back on soon as well. And this guest was an absolute belter. It's former Hearts, Falkirk and Kilmarnock manager. It's Jim Jeffries.
Worst dressed.
Stevie Fulton.
Moniest.
Oh, moniest player. Had a few. Peter Heatherson.
Who do you want to back you up in a fight?
Oh, without a doubt, John Hughes.
Why? He's won that a few times.
Aye, yep.
Best looking.
Probably Simon Stainrod when I was at Falkirk. Playboy.
Teacher's pet.
Gary, no, that's not Gary. Teacher's pet, Gary Locke.
Was anybody else sitting there thinking he's going to say Gary Locke?
Aye.
Teacher's pet. He gets called that all the time.
Most skillful.
Well, I've been lucky to get a few skill wise and determination. Somebody I spoke about recently. Kevin McAllister at Falkirk was hugely skillful, but so was Simon Stainrod. He was just an unbelievable talent. But I was lucky, as I said, with quite a few talented players in my time with management, you know.
Worst trainer?
Probably Brian Rice. Was it the quickest? Didn't he get the fittest? But by God, he could play because he had his left foot was on one. But I think he was the best trainer.
Who never gets the round in?
Billy Broon, my assistant manager. Been playing for years.
Biggest BAM up merchant.
Well, I think it's Stevie Fulton again.
Stevie Fulton.
Aye. Put a doubt.
Top shagger.
Well, when he was single, I'll better say when he was single, probably Gary Locke again. You know what I mean? only when he was single.
Best you've played with?
I've always said it's a difficult question because everybody's in different areas, like striker and midfield player. But if you take the whole thing, as far as being a good professional, always supportive, always, you know, great to work with, then hands down, it's David Weir.
Oh, that's a
brilliant answer. That's a brilliant answer.
Because I think David, I found David when he came through a letter he sent me, and I just pursued it, and we took it to invite him to train at Falkirk. And I said to him, I wouldn't make a decision until he started playing some games for us. But he wanted to come down to the training. And I can tell you, the first time we got the balls out, never mind the games, as soon as we got the balls out for a warm-up, I said to Billy Brown, says, we need to sign him right away. So the rest is history, you know.
So that's it for this week's Football Daft. Thank you very much for listening. The Rangers team, we're recording this on a Thursday evening. The Rangers team has just come out and Greedo's not very happy that Aaron Ramsey isn't playing.
No, I'm not going to say that I'm not that happy, but it's like, throw him in. Go for it. Take the risk. I mean, we've gone for about a fucking another, what, month? 2 months?
Do you think he'll start at Tannadice then if he's not starting the night?
I don't think it looks likely that he'll start at Tannadice if he's not starting the night. What do you think?
Well, I think it looks likely that he'll ever start a fucking game for these, to be honest with you.
Talking of the weekend fixtures, so Dundee United Rangers, we talked about Rangers Daft.
I need to say something before we go out.
What?
Remember that guy dug me for saying about Greg Taylor?
Oh, that was funny, man.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Surprising.
I actually thought that it was against St Johnson. I had no recollection of it being fucking Greg Taylor, but never seen him again anyway.
Just in case you're wondering what we're talking about, Toe thought, what were we talking about?
I can't even fucking remember.
No, it was Joey Barton, Putman Rosie.
Yeah, Greg Taylor. Well, that was it.
I made an RC and I'm holding my hands up, all
right? Right, there we go. He's held his hands up for you now. So, Dundee United versus Rangers at the weekend, Gredo, what are you thinking?
Well, obviously, the nerves are starting to kind of kick in now because it's getting to that point of the season where if we don't get 3 points, if any team doesn't get 3 points, then it could be absolutely crucial in the run into the season. So hopefully we can do it. We've got a point to prove, losing the game earlier on in the season. But hopefully we come out the Borussia Dortmund game injury-free and we can go up there and get 3 points.
Chris, you're playing the other half of Tayside there, Dundee at home.
It should be cut and dried, although Mark McGee, you know... the tactical genius that is. I know I'm making a rod for my back here because
if Dundee
get a point then, but no, I think it should be a comfortable one. We hammered them 6-0 at home.
I think actually Dundee, we'll get a Dundee supporter on next week. I know Jim Gellatley is a big Dundee supporter. His dad used to be chairman at the club. It'd be interesting to get his views on Mark McGee and talk about that next week. Other fixtures this weekend, Hibs Ross County, that could go either way, couldn't it?
I think Ross County are doing pretty well just now, and is it them being the game at Easter Road, eh?
Yeah, it's at Easter Road, yeah.
That could factor into it, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Hibs dropping points.
Yeah. Livingston St Mirren, Gredo, what are you thinking?
By the way, you see that rumour we were talking about Sakala and Kent? No, Kent, Sakala and Roof. Well, Sakala and Roof aren't in the squad at all.
And what's the rumour?
Well, we were on Rangers Daft and we were talking about how they're no vaccinated. They're no getting to Germany.
Ooh.
And Sakala and Roof aren't the only team.
Kent is,
but he must be vaccinated, so that must be true.
There you go then.
That's a bit dodgy, man. I mean, this is a totally, completely different debate, but it's going to cause a lot of issues next year with teams if that's the kind of case. It's going to need to be written in contracts and stuff like that that need to be vaccinated, because what's the point of signing somebody if they can't play? And I don't know. You want to get into it? What do you think about it, Tom?
I don't give a fuck.
That's fascinating, Grado, but what do you think about Livingston St Mirren?
I think Livingston will win it comfortably.
Brilliant. Motherwell Aberdeen, Chris.
I'm going to go 2-1 to the Well.
2-1 to the Well. Aberdeen still managers, Barry Robson. Maybe I'll still probably be in the seat, I'm reckoning.
Barry Robson and Scott Brown on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Could be doing with two players like that in the middle of the park.
And finally, St Johnston Hearts in the Premiership on Saturday.
Hearts victory.
Hearts win. Grado, what do you think?
Yes, I would say that.
Hearts win as well. Right, well, that's great, Grado. There's football that we want, so we've lost Grado at all. Unless you want to tell us more about Fashion Sakala not being jabbed.
No, I'm just saying...
That's the rumour.
This is a rumour. But this sort of opens up a big, big conversation. You know, I don't want to get in the old fucking vaccine and jabbing and all this and your opinions on it and stuff like that, but it's causing issues. When you sign a player and they can't go to the games because they're no jab, there's going to be some kind of conversation.
Going to need Dr. Reggie's.
There you go.
But then it's COVID related and Rangers could get dragged over coals for that. So you're fucked if you do and you're fucked if you don't.
And I think that's a good place to leave this week's show. We'll talk
that's also
about...
the name of this week's show. You're fucked if you do and
you're fucked if you don't. That's it. This week's show. Brilliant. Thank you very much for listening to Football Daft. We'll be back with Rangers and Celtic Daft next week and obviously the main podcast on a Friday. Get us on Twitter, Football Daft Pod, Football Daft Podcast on Instagram, and just plain old Football Daft on Facebook. We shall see you on the next one.